Welcome to this RCGP podcast on measles. My name is Dirk Pilard. I'm a GP in the wonderful county of Essex and the medical director for professional development at the RCGP. This is the first of two podcasts dedicated to the subject of measles. And today I'll be talking to Dr. Mike Mulholland, a GP in Buckinghamshire and the honorary secretary of the RCGP. Michael, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks, Dirk. That's great to be here and be able to share something about measles and the concerns about it at the moment.
Michael, the United Kingdom's Health Security Agency has recently expressed their concerns about the possibility of a potential measles outbreak. What's gone wrong and what is the agency reporting?
So what we are hearing is from the UKHSA is that there's a rise of laboratory confirmed measles cases. We know that UK MMR uptake, whilst good in some parts of the country, there's quite a lot of variation. And to maintain immunity across the population, it needs to be 95%. In some areas, we know it's below 50%, which really gives concern to the WHO, who are worried that there could be a spread of measles through the community rapidly. We know there's gaps in different populations in their immunity. It's got worse since the COVID outbreak, that populations haven't been reached during that time. So there are further gaps that have occurred in the measles protection. And then we also have what's known as the Wakefield generation, who are moving through after the discredited work of Andrew Wakefield in the late 90s, meant that a lot of parents decided then not to get their children vaccinated. And those children are now in their early 20s, but many of them haven't been vaccinated against measles with MMR at the time. And all of that put together means that there's a possibility that there could be an epidemic of measles in London of between 40,000 and 160,000 cases.
That sounds dramatic. So measles might make another return. But why is the UKHSA and the RCGP so concerned? You know, one could argue, well, it's just measles.
That argument part is based because we haven't seen much measles for many, many years. I've been a GP for over 20 years now, and I maybe have seen it once earlier on in my career. But generally, we presume in most areas, measles has been a disease that's rare, it doesn't occur. So we don't have the experience of recognizing it. We don't have the experience of knowing how damaging it can be to populations when it affects. It's the most contagious viral infection known. The R0, which is a measure of the infectivity and how contagious the disease is, for measles ranges between 13 and 18, which means that there's 13 to 18 patients or other people affected and infected by measles for every one person that has the disease. So you can see very quickly, if you get that spread, it goes through communities very quickly, particularly if they're unvaccinated. The other concern is it's a disease that's contagious from 4 days before the rash appears to 4 days after it goes. So although people may notice the measles rash when it comes, the infectivity is both before and after that. As I said, it's a disease that is severe when people get it. There's severe complications that can occur with encephalitis, pneumonitis, secondary bacterial infection may require critical care, and in some sad cases may be fatal. And we saw in the Wales outbreak, where there were 47 cases of measles, 64 of them ended up in hospital, and there was one death. As I said, the disease can occur in both children and adults, and with populations and families may not having measles vaccine over a number of generations, it will spread or can spread to both children and the frail elderly at the same time. And there's a concern about what impact that will have on healthcare systems with surges in attendance, both to primary care, to A&E, not just of those infected and ill with measles, but worried well, the parents who are anxious about their children and haven't seen the disease, don't know it. So overall, lots of problems. No point of care testing is available. Diagnosis is purely clinical. And yet it's a disease that we don't know very much about because we haven't had experience of it, mostly over the past 20 to 30 years.
Okay, so it's definitely not just measles. It sounds rather concerning. I have to admit that I can remember the last time I've seen a case of measles probably in the early 2000s, so about 20 years ago. Why has the disease been so rare over the last 20 years?
It's mostly because of the really effective vaccination that there's been. MMR was introduced in 1998. It's an effective vaccine. 90% of individuals will seroconvert to measles, mumps, and rubella antibodies after the first dose. And a single dose is therefore 95% effective in preventing clinical measles. A second dose increases that protection well over 95%. And there is overwhelming evidence that MMR does not cause autism.
That still leaves a legacy in our world, doesn't it? We know the MMR vaccination is safe and extremely efficient, but now we will have to step up to vaccinate the people in our patch. Can you remind us, please, about the MMR's vaccination schedule, please?
The first dose of MMR is usually given between 12 and 13 months of age as part of the childhood immunization program. A second dose is then normally given before school entry, but can be given routinely from about 18 months onwards. All children should have received then two doses of MMR vaccine before they enter school, which reduces the risk of outbreaks in that setting.
Okay, so that's our young patients, but what about the Wakefield generation and those young adults whose status we are not sure about?
Green Book suggests that individuals who are born in the UK between 1980 and 1990 may not be protected against mumps, but are likely to be vaccinated against measles and rubella. They may never have received a mumps-containing vaccine or had only one dose of MMR and had limited opportunity for exposure to natural mumps. They therefore should be recalled and given MMR. If this is their first dose, a further dose of MMR should be given from 1 month later. Next one are the individuals born between 1970 and 79. Who may have been vaccinated against measles, and many will have been exposed to mumps and rubella during childhood. However, this age group should be offered MMR where feasible, particularly if they're considered to be of high risk of exposure. Unless there's a reliable history of appropriate immunization, individuals should be assumed to be unimmunized. Individuals aged 18 months and over who have not received MMR should receive two doses at least 1 month apart. An individual who has already received one dose of MMR should receive a second dose to ensure that they are protected.
We know our colleagues around the country will do their best to immunize their communities. But once measles cases are appearing in the community, we will need to work closely with our local health protection teams. Any suggestions how we can streamline this?
Well, this will be something that varies in every part of the country, depending on the arrangements of your local health protection team. One of the first things to do will probably be having some sort of clinical meeting with the HP teams, making sure that practices have the up-to-date contact information for them, and then the swabbing that will need to be done to track an epidemic will be done by the health protection teams themselves rather than general practice having to do that, because that's where the expertise lies.
Mm-hmm. I believe at one stage there will likely be guidance around PPE in the community once measles appear again. And this all sounds quite challenging. How do you suggest we keep up and strengthen our resilience?
I think starting off by listening to this podcast and probably the next one, which is really going to focus on community engagement, means that we're prepared and understand the disease again. Early planning and practices, every practice will know what their own local vaccination figures are for MMR and know whether it's a high-risk community or a lower-risk community. And then getting engaged with the community teams, the health protection teams, to see how the vaccination levels can be increased. What we know is that to increase vaccination levels, it's probably moving outside the traditional areas where vaccination takes place in health clinics or practice GP surgeries. And it may be actually teams going from the health protection side into the community and engaging with the people and the patients are who will need the vaccine given to them.
Well, it's another challenge, and I'm sure that we as general practitioners will be up for it as usual.
Dirk, we have a good challenge because we know all about this disease. We have a really effective vaccine for it. And the key at this point, when we don't have an epidemic, is that we can get out and vaccinate, and our teams can do that, and our health protection side. So we're in a better place than with many things. The early planning is what we're doing. We don't have an epidemic yet.
Excellent. Well, I think that's all we've got time for today. So I'd like to say a big thank you to Michael for joining us. Please make sure you listen to the second podcast in this series on the topic with Dr. Tessine Khan. If you want to remind yourself on the clinical particulars of measles, please head to the RCGP's online learning environment, which sports a new e-learning module on measles and many other resources around vaccinations. Many thanks for listening and goodbye.
Thank you. Goodbye.